If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to Ephesians chapter 6? Ephesians chapter 6. And let me say, before we go any further, I believe God heard our prayers and answered our prayers. Amen? And so, Ephesians chapter 6, we are in what I believe is the final message in this series of family matters, and preaching this sermon on discipline. And all of the parents in the room said, "Amen." Right? Hey, before we dive off into this, Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to look at verses 1-4. I was visiting with a friend of mine, pastor of First Baptist Danville, and Daniel Morris is his name, and many of you are familiar with him. We have prayed for them on multiple occasions. He went through a really difficult season in his life handful of years ago, and lost his wife and son. They had two kids. Lost his wife and son in a vehicle accident. And he was the first on the scene, and he and his daughter, and just a really, really tragic, hard situation and situation they faced. And so God has since raised up a young lady for him to marry, who too went through a tragic loss of her husband. In mid-30s, had a heart attack and passed away, and they too had two children. And but in the midst of this tragedy, God brought them together. They recently had a child together, and precious baby. And they were in a car accident just a month or so ago, and Daniel was, baby was okay. Mama had a concussion, but she's okay now. And then Daniel broke his hip and just some other injuries. And so anyway, so I went to have lunch with him at his house just a week or so ago, and sitting down visiting, and we're talking about, he hadn't had a chance to be in the pulpit for a few weeks, so he was kind of stirred up a bit. And so we got to visit about, you know, what preaching through and those things, and we just talked about obviously marriage and divorce and some of those things, how hard those issues are. And then moved on to thinking about parenting. And he said something to me that I had never fully processed. And this is what he said, is he said that all blended families have come together as a result of brokenness. All blended families have come together as a result of brokenness. Sometimes because of the tragedy of loss, sometimes as a result of divorce, all circumstances, but all blended families have come together as a result of brokenness. And that means that, listen, if marriage is hard. Godly marriage is hard, difficult, takes work. Raising your children in a God-ordained marriage and not having gone through some of that brokenness and difficulty and what have you is really hard and difficult. Furthermore, blended families are bringing in a certain level of brokenness into that marriage that creates some additional obstacles and some additional things to have to work through, and it's really hard. Preaching through on marriage and preaching about divorce and going through this family series that we have. That Sunday I preached on divorce. I began to think about, and I even said this that Sunday, that there's not a single one of us in here that has not been impacted by divorce. Either personally or immediately in our home, in our family, etc. Like it, and not only just divorce, but then even the loss of life and incredibly difficult circumstances. So all of us bring a whole lot of things whole lot of baggage, if you will, to the table, and that includes blended families. And we live in a broken society in which you and I have to face really hard things, and there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of, we're going to talk today about discipline and raising our kids, and it doesn't, it's not lost on me that there are some who are single parents. They are mom and dad trying to raise kids and the difficulty of that. And there are some that are grandparents trying to raise kids. And let me just say this, it's probably not going to be very popular, but it's biblically true, is that grandparents are not designed by God to raise their grandkids. They're not. Single parents are not designed by God to be both the mother and the father and to raise their kids alone. And so as we talk about things today, it's not lost on me as we look at some of these biblical principles that it makes it really difficult when there's these blending of families and there's these difficult circumstances in which you may find yourself or you may find your family in. But I'm telling you, dear friend, that God can use even the most broken situations to bring about redemption and bring about something good. And so Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to begin in verse 1 and read through verse 4. So if you're willing and you're able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the perfect, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Bible says this, Ephesians 6 verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you for today. God, thank you that today we have a heart of gratitude, and we just want to pause and unequivocally say thank you. It feels so insufficient, but yet it perfectly communicates our heart of gratitude. And so we're thankful for all that you are and all that you do. I pray now you bless the preaching of your word. Hide me behind your cross and fill me with your Spirit. I pray that, God, you would save the lost, restore the backslider, and encourage the saint. I pray that you might restore brokenness in families today. And we love you and we praise you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The sermon in a sentence today is this, is godly discipline is a necessary part of raising kids. Godly discipline is a necessary part of raising kids. We're going to dive further into this, but unfortunately we live in a day and time where disciplining our children isn't quite as high on the priority list as maybe as it once was. And church family, I'm here to tell you that God still has a purpose and a plan, and He uses discipline to correct our kids, our children, to be more like Him. So then the question is this morning is, do you see discipline as a necessary part of raising kids? I don't believe our society does as a whole. But here's the reality, dear friends, is that Washington, Little Rock, nor the local school board determine what is right or wrong in terms of raising and developing our families. The Word of God is the standard. Amen? And so let's see what the Word of God has to say about the discipline in our homes. So number one, discipline begins with the right perspective. Discipline begins with the right perspective. Notice Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And so it begins with the right perspective. I know many of you, I was asked about it last week. Hey, next week, are you getting after the kids, preacher? You know, it's the kids' turn, right? We've been hard on the parents and so on and so forth. And to a degree, yes. The Bible's unequivocally here. If you're a child, you need to hear this, is that the Scripture says you're to obey your parents in the Lord. That if you are a Christian who follows the Lord Jesus, you and I, you have a responsibility to obey those parents that God has placed in your life. It begins with this right perspective. If discipline is going to be one that reflects the kingdom of God and is good and healthy, kids, you need to understand this, is that God has placed your parents in your life to help raise you, to invest in you, to train you, to shape you. And we've got to have this right perspective. It changes everything when mother and father, they follow the Lord Jesus, they've surrendered to Him, they're trying to do things in a way that honors and pleases the Lord, and you have a child that gives their heart and life to Jesus, and there's this unity and this balance. Now, is it always going to be unified? Is it always going to be balanced? Always going to be? No, we have a sin nature. We understand that. But listen to me, dear friends, the picture is that you've got parents who love Jesus, you have a child who loves Jesus, and the design of God, it is pleasing to God as children to obey your parents. And so, the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 5 and verse 16, says, honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may be well with you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Colossians 3:20 says, children, obey your parents in all things, for it is pleasing to the Lord. Proverbs 1:8-9, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Kids, listen to me. There's this perspective. We're going to deal with parents in just a moment. But in terms of the perspective from the kids, it's going, man, God has gifted me these individuals in my life that are my parents. And I know some of you may be being raised by grandparents. And you've got to surrender. You've got to trust that God's placed them in your life. Listen to me. Some of you are being raised by stepmom or stepdad. And you've got to trust that God has placed them in your life for your good. He's got a perfect plan and a perfect purpose. And now, let me hit pause. I realize there are some broken homes and there are some ungodly things that are happening in homes that we never, that should never, a child should never have to go through. You understand this. We're intelligent enough in the room to understand this, that when we're talking about obeying parents, we're talking about parents who are trying to do what is right and wholesome and good. I'm not talking about situations where a child is being abused, a child is being, just in an ungodly way mistreated. I'm not talking about those individuals. I'm talking about people who represent this special creation that is ordained by God. They are the parents raising their kids, or sometimes it's grandparents, or sometimes it's blended homes where it's mom and stepmom, or stepmom and dad. Sometimes it's a single parent. And I'm just here to tell you, kids, that God has placed them in your life as an instrument of good because they care and they love you. Listen to what the Scripture says. It says in those verse 2 and 3, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and may live long on the earth. Here's what we need to be careful of. This is not an exclusive promise in the sense that no matter what else you do, as long as you get this right, then nothing else matters. But it is a promise. It is a promise that you, if you honor your father and your mother, you honor those in your life that God has placed there to help shape you, that God honors and blesses that. You can write this down. God always blesses obedience. Always. God always blesses obedience. Now, parents, there's a right perspective. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That you and I ought to be raising and training our kids, investing in our kids. That the most important aspect of you being a parent is, first, have you given your heart and life to Jesus? Daddies, you can't be the daddy God's called you to be if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, if you're not following after Him and pursuing Him. Mamas, you can't be the mama God's called you to be if Jesus isn't first in every aspect of your life. And it's this right perspective, and what tends to happen is going, well, I would obey better if they would just give me better rules. Amen, right? It's all of life. They just let me drive a little faster, and they let me, like I would be obey better if they give me better rules. But then parents, let's be honest, sometimes you go, man, I'd be a better parent if they were a better kid. Yeah, you ain't said it out loud. But don't forget, I is one, okay? Some of y'all catch that later, all right? But the right perspective is this, is that me as a child, I've got a responsibility to obey my parents. And as a parent, I've got a responsibility to train and raise up my child in the way that pleases God. And that begins with my relationship with Him. So number one, discipline begins with the right perspective. Number two, discipline demands the right spirit. The right spirit. Notice Ephesians 6:4. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. By the way, I think this might be my kid's favorite verse in the whole Bible. At least the first half. I don't know if you know this about me. Well, you do. I like to tease and give people a hard time and all those sorts of things. And if I'm really trying to stir one of my kids up, they'll often, Brother Robert, bring up, hey, doesn't the Bible, you know, I'll say, hey, Bible says you ought to obey your parents or something like that. And one of them will pipe up and go, yeah, it also says don't provoke them to wrath too, Dad. Like, you're not going to Sunday school anymore, kid. We're not. I'll learn any more Bible verses. Now, they don't tend to quote the rest of it, but they're working on it, right? But here's the reality is that we're given this prescription of children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it's right, honor them. It's the first commandment with a promise. And in verse 4, and it says, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. Obviously, this is not limited to just fathers, but think about this. This comes on the heels of Ephesians 5 of husband and wife, and the man is given the responsibility to be head of his wife, i.e. head of the household. And so I don't think it's by accident that Paul is writing this. He's not limiting this, saying, mothers, you don't have any part in this. But he's speaking to the father of going, you have headship in the home, and this is important. This is a command. And so the idea of not provoking them to wrath means this. It says, mean don't stir them up to anger or to exasperate them or to irritate repeatedly. It's the idea of, it's not just a one-time mistake, but it is this ongoing frustration. How's that caused? How's that done? One of the ways it's done is by inconsistency. At times, I've seen parents really struggle with discipline with their kids. And oftentimes, particularly as a young parent, you have a little child, and man, they're cute as they want to be, and they've got all the funny sayings and all the things, whatever the accent, or they mispronounce, whatever it is. And there's times where parents just, man, they just absolutely lose it on their kids. Or at times, they let them get away with things because it's funny or it's cute or whatever it is. And what happens is the child is really struggling because one time, mom or dad let me get away with this. And then one time, they're really hard, heavy-handed about this. Parents, we got to be consistent. We got to be consistent. Whenever I was in Southeast Arkansas, I pastored there. And then I was the athletic director at a Christian school there. And there was a volleyball coach that had been there quite a long time. And my time being there, we would consistently have meetings with her parents and players and just all this drama, all these things going on. And it got to a point where she was asking me to come into her practices and all this kind of thing and going, hey, that's not helpful. It's not going to be good for you. And the reality was at times that she wanted to be called almost as like a grandmother, but then at times when things got really tense and she wanted to shape them up, man, she just, here came the drill sergeant. And it led to a lot of drama, a lot of frustration, a lot of things going on within her team because they never knew who they were going to get. Parents, listen to me. I know work is demanding. I know life is stressful. Finances are hard. But they need a consistent voice in their life. And you and I have got a responsibility to set the standard and hold firm to the standard. And so, provoking kids to wrath is inconsistency. Provoking kids to wrath sometimes comes down to harshness, where we got to make sure the discipline fits the crime. And we get so worried about our kids going off the rails, and understand, man, it keeps me up at night as well. But we've got to do our best to make sure that we don't go so heavy-handed on things that aren't as significant, and that we just, man, we hold them down so much and it provokes them to wrath. And then the idea of unreasonable expectations. Those of you, and I'm in the midst of this, I'm still learning this, okay? I'm not coming in as an expert, just as a dad trying to figure it out. But this is what I know, is that each one of our kids are different. And there's a standard, there's a moral standard, there's a behavioral standard. But then sometimes we put such unrealistic expectations on our kids that it provokes them to wrath. Let me tell you one of the areas that I saw this in when Katie was only about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years old. Maybe she was 5, and we were in southeast Arkansas, and so we're going to do the T-ball thing, okay? And so go and gets on the T-ball team, and that first game I went to, anybody been to a, like, T-ball game? Okay. Number one, well, I shouldn't go down that road, all right? I'm going to have to repent for some things, all right? There were some kids on that team. I think there were some kids that were 3 years old on that team. And I look out, and you know what they're doing on the field? They're doing what three-year-olds do. I mean, they're picking their nose. They're finding pieces of grass. They're sitting down on their tail facing the other way. They don't even know that a ball's on the field. But you got mom and dad over there who are about to raise the next major league pitcher. He knows it. She knows it. I mean, Johnny's 3. But he's going to sign that $1 million contract. And they're losing. My mama would say they are losing their ever-loving mind. Get up, stand still. You know, just losing it. And I'm like, hey, we'll save you and them a lot of stress if y'all would just go home and get in the backyard. And they won't have the foggiest idea in 2 years. They never played T-ball, right? And you know me, I'm a sports guy. I love sports guy. But what happens is they set an unrealistic expectation, and now you've put yourself in a position where you're trying to discipline this child into something that's just not going to be met. And parents, we got to be careful. We've got to guard against this. We got to guard against, man, running our kids to all these sports and all these events and all these sorts of things, and they're not getting proper rest, they're not getting proper nutrition and all this sort of thing, but then we send them to school and expect them to be straight A students, and they're not prepared for it. They're not ready for it, or whatever the standards are. And so parents, we have a responsibility. It says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. That doesn't just mean don't be mean to them. It means that you and I have to have half a brain and think about how we're raising them and make intelligent decisions, because God has gifted us to raise them up. It says, don't provoke them to wrath. Proverbs 15:1, put this on your memory verse list. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up strife. Parents, don't get in a yelling match with your kids. State the truth. State the standard. And a soft answer turns away wrath. James 1:20 says that the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. We got to be careful what we do in anger. Got to be careful what you do in anger. Number three, discipline. Man, y'all got to listen faster. What happened? Discipline wins the right focus. Discipline wins with the right focus. Let's look again, Ephesians 6:4. It says, "And you fathers, do not provoke your children wrath, but bring them up in the," here's the two key words, "training and admonition of the Lord." You and I have a responsibility. Part of discipline, okay? Part of discipline is not just wearing their tail out, okay? Now listen to me. You ought to wear their tail out every now and then. I knew the kids wouldn't say amen. All right? Huh? Yeah. Hey, look. I'm redhead stepchild. I earned every one of them things, all right? I believe in them. Corporal discipline ought to be a part of the raising of your kids. But it shouldn't be the only part. There's times where discipline needs to be invoked. And there are times where you need to teach and instruct and train. Training them and bringing them up, rearing them, training and admonition of the Lord. It means shaping them. Listen to me, dads. Listen to me, fathers. Teach them how to be a man. Maybe I wasn't clear. Teach them how to be a man. Teach them how to respect people. How to be respectful, how to have a good handshake, how to look people in the eye, say yes, sir, and no, sir, yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Teach them, train them, instruct them. Mamas, teach your daughters how to be godly young ladies that's pleasing to the Lord. I don't have time to read all of these, but Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it." Proverbs 13 and Proverbs 22 and Proverbs 23 and Proverbs 29 all speak to the reality of corporal punishment, and that spare the rod and spoil the child. Again, it shouldn't be your only form of correction, shouldn't be your only form of discipline, but it ought to be part of it. Hebrews 12:5-6, "And if you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as sons, my son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives." Here's the reality. Kids are not the chief executive officer in your home. God gave you the responsibility to be the parent and to lead. Stop delegating that to your kids. They're not designed to do that. And by the way, you have a strong-willed child or two, they will. They'll run that thing. Be the leader of the home. Hebrews 12:10-11, "For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to the Lord, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness." Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present. Anybody testify to that? Some of y'all ain't ready to be honest this morning. That's all right. But painful? Yeah, it was. All right. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. So, discipline's got to work, and discipline begins with the right perspective. Kids, you have a responsibility to obey your parents. Parents, we've got a responsibility to be right in the Lord. Then we got to have a right spirit. We're not trying to provoke them. We're trying to train and instruct them. And the right focus is, I'm not trying to make them miserable humans. I am trying to shape them into who God has designed them to be. And so, with that, let me give you a few tips and truths that I just want to share with you this morning. And some of them may be hard to hear. I already talked about a blended family, a result of brokenness. Let me just say this, okay? Because I was raised by my dad. My biological dad left when I was one. My stepdad entered our life whenever I was three, and they got married just before I turned 4 years old. Let me tell you one of the greatest things that my parents, both for most of my childhood, were lost. Okay, my stepdad all of my childhood. Told you I led him to the Lord just 2 weeks before he passed away. Let me tell you one of the greatest things that he ever did. The day he walked in, he said, if we're going to get married, it was me, he had two kids, and my mom had two kids. He said, if we're going to get married, those kids are my kids too. We didn't use the word step. It's the only way it works. Listen, finances, his and her finances do not work. His and her kids do not work. If God has placed you two together, and you got to understand that we're in this together, and listen to me, moms, you've got to let the stepdad be a part of the discipline, the raising of. Listen to me, dads, you got to let stepmom be a part of the raising and rearing of the kids. It's the only way it works. Without doing it, you communicate a second tier level of respect, and it is going to be a tumultuous home, and the enemy is going to try to use those kids to bring division. It doesn't mean, matter of fact, you don't need to run down your spouse to your kids, your former spouse. It's not healthy. It's not healthy. It could be argued to be sinful because it's gossip. It's not healthy to your kids. I'm not saying that you got to create some fictitious character about who they are or who they were, but I'm telling you that it is not healthy for you to talk about your former spouse in a negative way to your kids. And if you need to ask God to forgive you and ask Him to forgive you and give you grace to be positive and to uphold them in a respectful way. Grandparents weren't designed to raise kids. What often happens is grandparents are often raising kids because of some brokenness and things that happen, and there's an overreaction as they look at their own children. And when they're raising kids, oftentimes grandparents go so harsh that they lead the grandkids provoked. Or they continue to be grandparents and there's no discipline. It makes it really hard for single parents to be both mom and dad. I'm not saying it can't be done, not saying it can't be done well. There are some who have done it, and God gives you grace in the midst of brokenness. So please don't misunderstand that. Mamas, let me speak to you for just a moment, okay? I'm going to stay right here when I do, because I love you in Jesus' name, okay? Let fathers be stern with their sons. Let them develop them into young men. Because there's a whole world out there that will do everything they can to chew them up. Mamas sometimes hinder the development of young men because they think daddy's being too tough. Men, there's a line. don't cross a line. And mamas, if you think they're crossing a line, then have a private conversation away from them, away from the kids, talking about what that is. But we need godly men to raise up godly men. Number six, don't discipline out of anger. Hopefully you've heard this most of your life. Let me give you a tip that was shared with me. If you have to discipline one of your kids, particularly if you have to exercise corporal punishment. Here's a couple tips. Number one, if you set the standard saying, hey, if you do that again, you're going to get XYZ, whatever the punishment is. Here's what you need to understand, is you need to set that and make it clear, hey, I'm not a liar. Chris, I told you that if you do this, this is the punishment. If they do it, then I'm going to stand in front of Chris, say, hey, listen, daddy's not a liar. This is the punishment. Because sometimes we provoke them to wrath because we're constantly moving the goalpost. And so if they break it, then you got to stand in front. I'm not a liar. This is the standard that's to be met. And if they break the standard, then they've got to face the punishment. They face the punishment, and after the punishment, listen to me, you go and make it unequivocally clear, number one, that you love them and you're not mad at them. And number two, you pray with them and ask God to help them to do what is right because it's what's best for them. And then finally, we got to be careful. We got to let our kids have opportunities to fail within certain boundaries. Because there's going to come a day whenever they leave the home, and if they've always been protected from failure, it's going to be a really hard, hard season and lesson. So, discipline matters.